Technology has brought us to a greater awareness of the things that are spiritual. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you happen to be listening to this program. I thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we are continuing in our series of something we've titled Alienology, and it's based on a book we wrote of the same name. Now, last time we were together, we talked about the fact that technology has changed to such a degree that animation almost seems realistic. Fire and water moving in the animation movies of today, like Tangled, just are extremely realistic, causing us and helping us to believe that what we're seeing on the screen is real. This is compared with the way the animation of yesterday was when I was growing up in the 50s, the 60s, when the animation was smooth. And as I mentioned last time, Disney's was probably some of the best. But what's interesting is it has advanced to such a level that it doesn't even really compare with what came before it. Now, there are many examples of aliens discussing aspects of technology with people. These are testimonies, books, audio recordings, video recordings done by people who claim to have been visited by aliens and discussed with them aspects of technology that the aliens supposedly possess. It's fascinating to see just how deep Satan and his followers will go in fabricating and spreading the lies that people routinely accept as truth in this day and age. Now, this includes causing people to believe that fourth dimension living is available now. And we've talked about that before. If you weren't with us in previous episodes, I'd encourage you to go back through and listen to them, because we talked about fourth dimension living, what it means, what it holds out for humanity. Centuries ago, and even decades ago, I suppose, this would not have been considered or believed that strongly. And I'm talking about fourth dimensional living. But today is a different day. Fourth dimensional living will occur for authentic Christians, but it will not occur in this life. It will only happen. We'll only be able to participate in that after this life is over and after we have traded in our fallen, corrupt body for a new, unadulterated body that God will give us in the afterlife. Now, God's plan for getting us back to living beyond our three dimensions is called the plan of salvation. And it is through Jesus that we become born again, or what we also call, or what Jesus called, born from above. And that's in John chapter 3, so you can read about that. Now, being born again gives us a new nature in this life and a new body to match, minus, of course, the sin nature in the next. There's absolutely no way to get to that point, living beyond our current three dimensions, as long as we are alive in this dimension. God has us sequestered in these three dimensions, and I firmly believe that that is done to protect us. Living fourth dimensionally and even beyond that is only for the next life, since this current state of existence is severely marred and handicapped by sin and the sin nature that is resonant within us. It's in every person, including Christians. The differences between the average person and the authentic Christian is that in Christ we have the ability to overcome the sin nature, whereas the person who does not know Christ does not have that ability. Salvation is the only true path to that life, and the door that leads us to it is the door of death. When we die, we pass to the next life. It is there we live the fulfillment of eternal life that we received here. And that's not to say that salvation does not benefit us in this life. Of course it does. It is to say that we do not enjoy all of the benefits of salvation now. There is much more to come. And the same can be said of those who will spend eternity by their choice unfortunately, apart from God. As they live this life, they remain fallen, fully, completely, marred and governed by sin, with nothing within them that begins the redemptive process, because that is only found in Christ. These people do not have the Holy Spirit living within them, indwelling them, recreating Christ's character, or letting them enjoy any of the benefits of salvation now. They are dead, spiritually, completely dead. And when they physically die, their eternal death will officially begin as they are cast from God's presence forever and ever. That is tragic. And as Christians, certainly we need to be sure that we help remove obstacles from people so that they can see the truth. God does the saving. He uses us, though, to help open the eyes of people who are spiritually dead. So in the same sense, people who are dead spiritually here will realize the full impact of their decision they made, maybe repeatedly in this life, against receiving salvation. And once they pass from this life to the next, the clear understanding of their rejection of Jesus will become absolute and unequivocally clear. Now, they may have what they consider to be a decent life here. They may be relatively happy and content, at least by the world standards. They may be hardworking individuals who have gained much in this life, but without God, they have absolutely nothing. Whatever they think they had in this life, whatever they counted to their gain, whatever they cherished, it's going to be lost forever. Now, Paul tells us in Romans that the entire creation groans under the heavy load of sin. Romans 1 and following. And this situation will not fully be rectified until after Jesus reigns for 1,000 years on this planet. And then he destroys this heaven, this earth, creating new ones out of nothing to take their place. He does so because he is the creator. Read Colossians 1. That is God's plan, and it will be carried out. That's something to praise him for. His will never fails. His purposes always, always come to fruition. Living in the fourth dimension and beyond is living that is only gifted to those who trust in the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Those who believe that Jesus died for sinful humanity, opening a way back to God for those who seek him, will be rewarded with eternal life. Eternal life is living with God physically beyond these current three dimensions. God's not bound or limited by our three dimensions. He is infinite. We are finite. We've been segregated to three dimensions due to our rebellion and sin. Satan is doing his best to make us believe that we can gain access to other dimensions beyond our three by meditating, performing good works toward all humanity, and believing that we are gods, actualizing the deity within us. And too many people fall for that, and they die into eternity already spiritually dead. They will awaken to a horror they can barely imagine. There is no shortcut to salvation. Faith is required, and faith is exercised when people humble themselves in realization that Christ died for the ungodly. They begin to understand that salvation is a free gift, and it is given to those who ask for it in humility. A person who asks God for salvation does so because he or she realizes that they need God. They realize that they can't do it themselves, and in fact are quite incapable of doing it at all. The end result of the salvation leading to eternal life is living in glory with the Lord forever, beyond these measly three dimensions. I've mentioned it before. Scientists don't believe that we actually see authentically in 3D, true 3D. Our one eye sees something, our other eye sees something, and our brain constructs something that appears to us to be three dimensions. But they don't believe it is true three dimensions. But here's the rub. Here's the downside, I guess. Even though it is impossible because God has walled off dimensions beyond our three, Satan has worked very hard to spell out a way for people to obtain fourth dimensional living now. We don't have to wait until we die, he says, through any number of teachings and tenets. That's what he teaches us. It started in the Garden of Eden. We can begin to work toward it now as we live. His lies teach that once we have worked hard enough, we gain access to the fourth dimension, which frees us from the confines of our current three dimensions. It's spiritual in nature. And in doing so, we take on the attributes of God, able to have mastery over the dimensions, no longer confined by them. This is what Satan teaches through the New Age and other venues. And this, of course, it's a complete fabrication, at least according to the Bible. And if I could, I would buy stock in the Bible due to its veracity and truthfulness. God says there is only one way back to him, and that is through Jesus. Satan says, oh, no. There are many paths, and none of them go through Jesus at all, though he pretends that Jesus is part of it. It seems all too clear to me. Satan wants human beings to believe that fourth dimensional living is real for people now in this life. Once this is attained, it is the same as living divinely. God says that we cannot access those other dimensions, and we shouldn't even try. Doing so is what he calls spiritual adultery, idolatry, and just plain sin, to disobedience to God's stated commands. We need to go through God, receive the salvation he provided through Jesus, God the Son, and in the next life, other dimensions that God has kept from us now for our own good and safety will be opened up to us. You know, people unknowingly buy into Satan's schemes because they sound good. It puts them in the driver's seat, and because they don't have to deal with the problem of sin. It's a shortcut that ends in death. And we need again go no further than the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It ends in death, not life. You know, I hope you have made a decision to receive the only salvation that is available for you. There is no shortcut to eternal life. It is through Jesus and him alone. But you know, we need to ask ourselves this question. Why is the message so inviting? It's difficult to walk through life seeing multitudes of people reject the only path that leads to life, isn't it? On one hand, as authentic Christians, our hearts go out to these people. We know that if God had not opened our eyes to the truth, we'd be as blind as they remain. And at the same time, we also know that people are blind because they want to be. Paul makes this absolutely clear in just Romans chapter 1. There's a dual problem that seems unfair, yet is completely fair if God is God, and he certainly is that. The problem has to do with the fact of the fall, as well as the results of it. We can argue back and forth about whether or not God truly believes or truly loves people by allowing these same people to choose a path that guides them directly to hell. I mean, what's that all about, right? However, our debating about it would have absolutely no impact on the truth of the situation at all. What's done is done. The reason humanity fell has solely to do with the fact that God created people with a free will. Does this mean God was wrong? As Paul would say, heaven forbid. There is absolutely no way that God can ever be said to be wrong about anything he does. It makes not one bit of difference whether puny humanity has the capacity to understand it or not. The only thing that matters is truth, and that truth is found only in God. We have come to the end of our time today. We're going to continue with why is the message so inviting and talk more about that next time. I hope you've enjoyed these episodes, these audio messages, and I'll, of course, have another series after this. But until we meet again, I personally pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.